Hello and welcome to Natasha Explains It All. It has been a minute since the last episode, so I'm happy to be back and welcome to any new listeners. And on that, before I get into today's topic, which is how to stay sane in an election year, I wanted to briefly do something that I've done from time to time on the podcast, which is share with you where people are listening to the podcast from, which I think is so cool because Natasha Explains It All has a global audience, and I'm so grateful for that. And so a thank you to all of my listeners and to all hopefully future listeners as well. So just want to share, yeah, where people are tuning in from. So 86% of listeners are in the United States. So the vast majority of listeners are tuning in from the United States. Then 4% of listeners are tuning in from the United Kingdom, followed by 2% from Brazil, 2% from France, 2% from New Zealand, 1% from Italy, and then less than 1% from the following various countries: Portugal, Belgium, Taiwan, Colombia, Hong Kong, Canada, and Spain. So thank you so much for everyone who is listening all over the world. I would love to see this list expand even more, and then I would love to update you later on about what that list looks like. So again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast wherever you are on the globe. And I would love it if you could rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. As we all know, algorithms are what control, you know, these forms of digital media. And so the more ratings and reviews that the podcast has, the more likely it'll be suggested to other people and more people will be able to access the podcast. So I appreciate your help in expanding the global reach of the podcast by rating and reviewing the podcast. Now, with that in mind, let's turn to the meat of today's episode, which is about how to stay sane in an election year. We are in an election year in the United States. It is April of 2024, and in November of 2024, we have not only a presidential election, we also have other federal races, you know, congressional elections, and we also have lots of state and local elections. It is a big year when it comes to politics in the United States. And so it can feel very overwhelming. The news in general feels very negative and heavy, and it can feel that it's hard to keep things straight and know what to believe and who to trust. And I'm hoping that I can provide some guidance on that today. And the episode is going to have two main components. One is going to be about where to get your news from, some tips on how to narrow the focus of where you're getting your news. So you're getting perhaps fewer sources, but more meaningful sources. So again, to help control the sense of overwhelm. And then the second is going to be about how to get involved in a meaningful yet sustainable way. And so again, those are going to be the two parts, suggesting new sources as well as specific examples of how to get involved. And with both things, again, about how to navigate an election year so that you stay informed, so that you are engaged, but not in a way that is going to just make you feel so overwhelmed and just hate all of this. And before I turn to those two areas, I want to mention a little bit of the why. You know, I've said that this is a very important election year, and that is true. And I also think that there is definitely a lot of cynicism out there, you know, about like, it's so overwhelming. Like, it would just be easier to tune out, to not pay attention. You know, my vote doesn't matter anyway. What's the point? You know, they're all corrupt. All the parties are the same, that kind of perspective. And I would like to push back on that to say that, you know, apathy is a tool of authoritarianism. You know, those who wish to abuse power want people to be apathetic. Certainly the Trump camp, I mean, his entire platform is he wants to be a dictator if he is elected. And apathy is the way that you get that, is a component of that, meaning that if people are tuned out and they're so overwhelmed by the deluge of scandals and confusing controversies, that's really hard to really be able to sift through what's actually happening. So people tune out, and that allows people like Trump to just consolidate further power and to harm people even more. And so it really does matter for us to stay engaged. It really does make a difference. I understand that I'm certainly one of those people who is very much a proponent of having a multi-party system. I wish the United States had a system that was more like many other countries, many European countries, Brazil, and other places that have more of a parliamentary system where you have many different parties and they have to form coalitions together. So I hear that. And at the same time, it is very clear to me that there is a very concrete difference on what a second term Biden presidency would look like versus a second term Trump presidency. It has absolutely concrete impacts for the well-being and livelihoods of millions of people, not only in the United States, but globally, because the United States has a global impact. And the last thing I'll say about that before turning to the, you know, tips and tools is that if your vote didn't matter, the Republican Party would not be working so very hard to try to suppress the vote. They have been working ever since 2014. Well, I mean, basically forever. But in 2014, the Supreme Court ruled in a case called Shelby County v. Holder, decimating Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which required states that had a history of voter suppression to clear any new voter requirements with the Department of Justice before they could implement them. And it was a very important section that helped to reduce the amount of voter suppression, particularly of Black voters in the United States and then other minority groups. That law was extremely important. And in 2014, in Shelby County v. Holder, the Supreme Court, led by Chief Justice John Roberts, who was appointed by George W. Bush, said that, oh, we don't need this anymore because basically we're post-racial. We have a Black president now. This seems like this is from another era. We don't need this anymore. And I'm really not exaggerating in what that analysis was. And so removing the preclearance requirement then opened the floodgates for the exact same states who had had a long history of voter suppression to then pass bill after pill after bill to make it harder to vote. And that's exactly what they've done. And it's everything from eliminating early voting, eliminating vote by mail, reducing voting hours, increasing voter ID requirements. You may have heard of like the infamous one in Georgia, which is, you know, you can't provide water or food to people who are standing in line to vote, even though sometimes people are standing in line to vote for hours. All of this stuff that is designed to make it harder to vote because they know that voting matters. And as an example of how voting matters, when in 2022, the Supreme Court, with a conservative majority, with three justices appointed by Trump with the explicit purpose of overturning the federal constitutional protections for abortion, in the 2022 case, Dobbs, where, again, the conservative majority on the Supreme Court overturned the 1973 Supreme Court case of Roe v. Wade, which recognized a constitutional right to abortion within the constitutional right to privacy, that led to many states then voting on the issue of whether reproductive rights and abortion would be protected within the particular states now that the federal protection no longer existed. And in every single state since 2022 that has voted on whether people want reproductive rights to be protected, whether people want to protect the right to an abortion, in every single state, the right has been protected. Voters have voted for that right. And it's not just in liberal places or quote unquote blue states. It has been everywhere from Montana to Kansas to California and several other states. And that shows as an example of the importance of voting. And that's going to be on the ballot again this November in several states, including Florida. The Supreme Court of Florida recently issued a ruling that has allowed a 6-week abortion ban to go into effect, which basically means that they have banned abortion in Florida and therefore for the Southeast in general, because many of the neighboring states don't have banned it as well. So it's decimating abortion access in the Southeast. And at the same time, the Florida Supreme Court has approved a ballot measure that will go before Florida voters in November, whether the state constitution should protect reproductive rights, including the right to an abortion. And that is going to require a 60% threshold. It's going to require that 60% of Florida voters vote in favor of it. And so that is going to be huge and shows the importance of voting. And again, the efforts by the Republican Party to make it harder to vote, one of the things that the Republican Party has done in Florida is to clear the vote-by-mail voter registration logs every 2 years. So if you have signed up to vote by mail in Florida, which highly increases your likelihood of voting because it's much more convenient, right, to vote by mail. If you signed up to vote by mail in Florida, every 2 years, the state government erases the fact that you signed up for it and doesn't alert you to the fact that they removed you. So you have to re-enroll without any alert that you have to re-enroll in order to be able to vote by mail. And that is a huge part of the Republican Party in Florida's strategy to prevent this ballot measure from passing in November. So anyway, your vote matters. If it didn't matter, there wouldn't be so many efforts to suppress the vote. And we can still recognize that there are many deficiencies in the U.S. democratic system. You know, we could do a whole episode on the insanity that is the Electoral College and gerrymandering, which is a form of voter suppression and all the like. The point being, your vote does matter. And so I want to help you stay informed in an election year without going crazy. So let's get into that. The first part, as I mentioned, is I'd like to give you some suggestions about where to get your news from and how to stay informed in a sustainable way. What I would suggest is that I would suggest in general staying away from any form of cable news. And I'm not even calling out a specific network. Cable news, any of the, 24-hour mainstream media news cycles, anytime you're going to be at that level of constant coverage, the quality is not necessarily going to be great. There is going to be a focus on sensationalization and a lot of commentary and not necessarily analysis and like clearing of facts. Because if you have to produce content for 24 hours a day, there's so much noise. There's so much noise in that. It's just also like designed for eyeballs, right? So it's meant to be also like visually more provocative and more like controversy focused. And I think that that can be really draining and then can make things seem more divisive, more divided than they actually are. You know, I think that a lot of the mainstream media outlets are really appealing to Trump voters and really amplifying like all of their views, but they are actually not the mainstream. I think, you know, a lot of Americans agree on a lot of issues, but if you watch, you know, cable news, you would think that's not the case. So I would suggest that the intensity and the show business of cable news is not the best place for you to stay informed in election year. What I would suggest instead is find a handful of journalists, commentators, strategists that you resonate with and follow their content and only their content. Of course, we all look at headlines, you know, I do as well. And I think that, I mean, we're not going to stop doing that. And I think that makes sense to, you know, continue to do that. And I would just suggest that on that, like, for example, if you have an iPhone in the Apple News app, you can set a timer for it. You can set a daily limit of how much time you spend on that app reading articles or just reading the headlines. I, for example, have a 15-minute timer. So after 15 minutes, the Apple News, 15-minute per day timer. So after 15 minutes, the Apple News app on my phone will just like, you know, shut off for the day. And I think that that is a helpful way of like recognizing that you're going to check the headlines, but you don't want, you know, an entire hour of scrolling to go by and then you just feel like terrible about the state of the world and you didn't really come away with it necessarily learning more. So I would suggest that if you do, you know, the headline thing, I would suggest, you know, putting a timer on whatever app you use to get that kind of news. And then in terms of going more in depth that I was mentioning, I would pick a handful of journalists or commentators or strategists, subscribe to their newsletters, follow them on social media, and stick with them. And they may lead you to other people whose content resonates with you and that you find informative. And I find that it's like a quality over quantity issue. And so I'm going to suggest some folks. This is not an exhaustive list, obviously. This is not any type of definitive list. This is not, I'm not mentioning these people in a particular order. Just consider, you might want to take a look at these folks that I am suggesting, and maybe their content resonates with you. Maybe their content leads you to other folks that resonate with you. And again, I tried to take this approach of like, there are a group of thought leaders, journalists or commentators or strategists that I follow that I find their content to be interesting and credible and informative, and kind of stick with that. So I will share some of those suggestions. And again, not exhaustive, not definitive, not in any particular order. And I welcome suggestions from other folks as well. So just, again, just going to go through a list of some potential suggestions. One is a journalist named Oliver Willis. He's a senior writer with the American Independent, and he has a Substack, which is a platform for people to do blogging, and you can subscribe to get whatever article he writes in your email. And his Substack newsletter is called Oliver Willis Explains. And I actually, so that's one of the ones that I subscribe to, Oliver Willis Explains. And I am a, because I'm a paying subscriber, I actually got, and I'm happy to share this with any listener who reaches out to me, I have 3 free 1-month gift subscriptions to give. Which are $15 value. So I have 3 1-month gift subscriptions to give out. So if you wanted to subscribe to Oliver Willis Explains for a month for free to test it out, let me know. You can reach out to me, and I have 3 of those to give away. I'm not getting anything for that. It's just a promo that he does. So I wanted to extend that to my listeners. Someone else I would recommend is Terry Canfield. Terry Canfield. And I'll put everyone's names in the show notes. Terry Canfield, she's a law professor at UC Berkeley, and she's also a prolific writer. She is a very, her head is on straight, and she just has a very like sober perspective on everything that is happening. And I do want to make the point that for all of these people that I'm suggesting, this doesn't mean that I endorse all of their content or agree with all of their content. So just putting in that caveat, but I think that they have, you know, again, helpful, informative, credible things to say. So Terry Canfield. Next is Judd Legum. He does a newsletter called Popular Info. He is focused predominantly on corporate malfeasance, but he has other topics as well. But he is an investigative journalist who does a lot around, corporations being shady actors, and then other many, many other topics, including like all the Florida book banning stuff, and many other topics. Dan Rather, he is a journalist, former TV personality as well. He also has a Substack. He has a newsletter that you can subscribe to. So again, that's Dan Rather. There's also Heather Cox Richardson. Heather Cox Richardson has a daily newsletter that is essentially highlights of what has been happening in the U.S. that day with a lot of historical perspective, which is what I appreciate, because she'll talk about what is happening, today, what happened today, and then make some historical parallels to another period in U.S. history. And I've learned a lot from her newsletter. Adam Serwer, S-E-R-W-E-R, Adam Serwer. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. He's a writer with The Atlantic. He talks about various issues, but including a lot of race and policing issues. And his content is really good. Again, so Adam Serwer, he's a writer with The Nation. Keith Edwards, he is a Democratic strategist. So again, he's not a journalist, but he talks a lot about like the Democratic Party strategy around elections. There's also Mark Elias. He is a lawyer, and he does all of the lawsuits that he does are related to voting rights. And he has a newsletter as well called Democracy Docket. So if you wanted information that was really specific around, democracy issues, access to the vote, he's really focused on that. Sherilyn Ifill is an icon, used to be the head of the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund. She does a lot of commentary on various aspects of American civil life, particularly around civil rights. Ellie Mistal, he is a legal correspondent for The Nation, and he does a lot of focus on the Supreme Court, but many other issues as well. Ellie Mistal is fantastic, and he is regularly interviewed on both the cable news as well as for podcasts and things. So, and he has his own articles as well. So Ellie Mistal, highly recommend. Molly Jong Fast, she is a journalist, she is a writer, she is definitely more aligned with the kind of mainstream media folks. She does many regular appearances on places like MSNBC and CNN, but she also has her own podcast and seems to have, she is part of the 24-hour news cycle. And at the same time, I think she has helpful commentary on national issues. Nicole Hannah-Jones, she is a professor at Howard University. She is the author of the 1619 Project. She also is a writer for the New York Times, particularly on matters of race. She is, one of the leading voices in the nation at the moment. So Nicole Hannah-Jones. Robert Reich, former professor, and his focus is really more on like economic issues and social justice. He has a newsletter as well. Jay Kuo has a newsletter called The Big Picture, which again focuses more on like national issues. So those are just some in terms of, folks to follow on social media, folks to, to whose newsletters to subscribe to. And I would also just add that, following local news is also so important because so many of the things that really impact our day-to-day lives are decided at the local level. And So, finding local journalists, local newspapers to support and follow, I also highly recommend. I've mentioned in previous episodes of this podcast, San Jose Spotlight, which is a local nonprofit journalism outlet that's focused on Santa Clara County in California. There's also a newsletter that I subscribe to called East Bay Insiders with Stephen, I think it's Tavares is how he pronounces the last name, but it's called East Bay Insiders. And he just does a lot of analysis on like East Bay politics. So that's helping me get more informed about what is happening in my part of California. But figure out what your local newspaper is, or maybe, some local journalists, and support them, because the local issues do very much matter. So again, that first suggestion is around finding a handful of journalists, commentators, strategists, thinkers to follow, to subscribe to their newsletters, to follow them on social media, maybe their podcasts, and stick with them and see where they may lead you to in terms of other sources of information. I know that for me that's been helpful, of having some like kind of a core base of where I'm getting my information from and then going out from there rather than just kind of blindly looking at things or only looking at the major publications, only the New York Times or only the Washington Post or only US News or USA Today. I really think that there is benefit to supporting and subscribing to specific journalists and the specific content that they produce. I think they're able to be more honest and do better analysis than a lot of the, major outlets are, who are owned by just a handful of people. And when you subscribe to someone's newsletter, all of them have free options, but you also have the option to, have a paying subscription, and then you get to support truly independent journalism, which I think is a cool thing. So, all right, the next category of like how to stay informed is regarding podcasts. I know a lot of folks listen to podcasts. This is a podcast that you are listening to right now. I listen to podcasts avidly, and so I would also recommend that either as an either or to, following specific folks, and gosh, there's so many. I know that this list is just so, it's just such a basic list. There's so many other people, that I could list, but those are some starting points. I would also recommend like finding a podcast or two that covers these topics and listen to that. And some people are like, dedicated NPR listeners, or they listen to their local radio station. And if that's your habit, then that works. But for folks who may be looking for a podcast that helps them stay informed, and that can just kind of be a regular routine source of information, I'm just going to suggest a few. There are so many. So again, this is not exhaustive. This is not definitive by any means. One is The Nation. The Nation is an online publication. I mentioned Ellie Mistal before. He is one of the correspondents for The Nation, and they have a podcast that covers various topics, all regarding current affairs, and I find it very informative. I would also suggest the podcast Boom Lawyered. Boom Lawyered. Boom Lawyered is produced by a journalism outlet called Rewire News, and the hosts of Boom Lawyered are two legal journalists named Amani Gandhi and Jessica Mason Piclo. And Boom Lawyered is focused predominantly on issues of reproductive rights, but they talk about many other social justice and civil rights related issues, with a lot of focus on what's happening at the Supreme Court, because that's where a lot of the decimation of civil rights are happening right now. And so Boom Lawyered is really funny and very informative if that is a particular set of topics that are of interest to you. And the last one I would recommend is called Small Doses with Amanda Seales. This podcast covers a ton of different topics, so it is not focused exclusively on current affairs or politics. But Amanda Seales does interview a lot of prominent folks, including a recent interview with Sherrilyn Ifill, who I was mentioning before, leading civil rights leader in the United States at the moment, former head of the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund. And she recently interviewed the mayor of Baltimore. And she does many episodes relating to current affairs. And I think it's an informative podcast. So Small Doses with Amanda Seales. All right. So that is on the side of how to get your news in a way that is informative without being overwhelming. Pick some people to follow. Pick a handful of newsletters to subscribe to, a podcast to listen to. Set a timer on your news apps. And go forth from there. Now, on the second side, I mentioned that I also wanted to give some direction as to how to get involved in a meaningful yet sustainable way. Because I have found over and over again that a very effective way to counter the feeling of overwhelm, to counter the feeling of powerlessness, to counter the feeling of apathy, is by doing something. And I think that a lot of folks may be afraid that what they do doesn't make a difference. They don't know where to start. It seems uncomfortable. It seems inaccessible. And so I want to help make it seem more accessible and less daunting and less frightening. And when we are active and when we are engaged, it really does help stem those feelings of like, this is all meaningless and there's nothing to do. It's all hopeless. Getting involved really can make you feel like, well, I'm doing my part. And that's really all you can do. So a couple of thoughts about doing your part. Of course, there's always the option to donate to campaigns or organizations that matter to you. And I think that is great. And they need the donations, and so continue to do that or consider doing that if that is something that you are able to do and willing to do. And there is also the option to volunteer, either volunteer with an organization that is promoting democracy and promoting a progressive future, or volunteering for a specific candidate. And so a couple that I would suggest that are kind of like the broader topics. One is, I've mentioned many times, postcards to voters, and I will continue to mention postcards to voters because it is a low barrier, low entry, way into being involved in campaigning in a way that is truly effective, because Postcards to Voters is all about Democratic races up and down the ballot, so local to federal races that are targeted at people who are already registered Democrats and really trying to get them out to vote, because voter turnout is really what decides elections. And they do all of the analysis in terms of what races to support. The campaigns themselves pick all the messaging. So really, your only task is to write the messages on postcards and send them out to the addresses that are provided to you. And so it's like a fun art project. It's very, you can do as many or as few as you would like when you have time. And it does help. And a lot of the races that Postcards to Voters has supported, their candidates have won, including recently an Alabama House seat that flipped from a Republican to a Democrat. And the Democrat who won for that House seat ran explicitly on a pro-abortion, pro-reproductive rights platform. Another one that I have mentioned is Indivisible. Indivisible has really informative newsletters. Like, if you just want to subscribe to their newsletter, I find it very helpful into what's happening at the national landscape. And they also have many, many ways to get involved. There are lots of local Indivisible chapters. There probably is one near you. And they organize all kinds of, you know, they organize all kinds of activities. Like, they might do postcarding together as a group. They may volunteer on a campaign together. They may do a demonstration together. All kinds of things. And it's also social, which is definitely makes all of this much more fun. And they also have a new tool called Neighbor to Neighbor, which connects you with specific neighbors of yours to, you know, go and talk to those neighbors about the election, and they give you a script and everything. And it's been proven to be very, very effective in helping to boost voter turnout, which is really, really important. You can also pick a campaign, a particular candidate that speaks to you, and they always have ways to get involved. And I recommend a buddy system. Things are just always so much more fun if you can do it with a friend, whether it's phone banking or, you know, going door to door. And those may seem like really overwhelming things. I totally get it. That's why I go back to like the Postcards to Voters thing. You can do it on your own time at home. Don't have to talk to anybody. But really, like, we all have the power to do our part. And there are many ways to do that. So it is not about saying this is the right way or this is the only way or you're not doing enough. Like, that is not helpful. The point of all of these suggestions is if you want to stay informed and you want to stay engaged, but you're not sure how, and it feels overwhelming and it feels just like the whole thing just seems like such a turnoff because it's so negative, I think that by taking this approach, you can feel a lot more empowered. You can feel a lot more positive about what is happening and therefore much more hopeful. You know, I talk to a lot of friends about what's happening this year, and I feel very hopeful for November. And I would say that that's not a feeling that a lot of the people in my circles have. They feel definitely not as hopeful as me. And I'm not saying that I'm right and they're wrong. All I'm saying is that I think that some of that hopefulness comes from being engaged and paying attention and feeling like I have a somewhat decent grasp on you know, some of the issues that matter to me, and that makes me feel like I'm doing my part. And as I'm doing my part, then I can be more hopeful about what's to come, you know, because then it feels less like it's just a totally random thing and more like, well, if we all each do our part, we actually can control. We have a lot more control and power than we think. People power is, at the end of the day, what has led to any type of progress in any area, you know, whether it's in children's rights or workers' rights or environmental rights or women's rights, you know, LGBTQ rights. It's people power. And the power of the vote not the only form of that power by any means. We've seen, for example, lots of strikes these last few years and the power of that, right? The power of like organized labor. But the vote is part of that power. So there you have it. I hope that those are some ways to help you stay sane in an election year, to help you stay informed, and also to get involved in a way that is meaningful yet sustainable. Again, it's like picking one organization to volunteer for, or like one campaign to volunteer for, one organization that's doing stuff and being involved with that one organization. Another one I didn't mention was Swing Left. So Postcards to Voters, Indivisible, Swing Left. I know that there's others. Like, pick one and do something with that. And even that makes a difference, right? If everyone did that, what a difference that would make. And you doing that makes a difference. So pick your handful of folks to follow and subscribe to. Pick like one cause to support. I mean, if you have the capacity and the bandwidth to do more, fantastic. But narrowing in and deepening the quality, I think, will help you feel more informed, more engaged, and more hopeful. And on that note of hopefulness, I'm going to close out this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.